Together for the reading of God's word from 1 Kings, chapter number 18, verse number 38. This environment that this verse is quoted from is an environment when Israel had been drifting far away from the Lord. They had gotten off the track. They were now serving other gods, being led by leaders in their culture down a path that took them anywhere but to God. Their living now had deteriorated into lower than what God's expectations were. Standards were no longer exercised. And God was going to give them an opportunity to come back. And so in a challenging moment on the top of a mountain called Mount Carmel, Elijah the prophet lays down this gauntlet that God's given him and trusts the Lord. And as the offering is being offered to the Lord, hear how God responded. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. So it took it all. The fire just consumed everything. And it licked up the water that was in the trench because he had poured barrels of water on the sacrifice just to make it even a little bit more dramatic when God was going to show himself and his strength. So even the water that was poured on the sacrifice was licked up in the trench. Now, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Amen. Father, thanks for the opportunity that you have given us today to find purpose, to find reason and meaning for gathering together like this. You have great purpose for the church. We ask today that your revealed will be in us. We choose to allow your will to be done in us. We embrace it. We hunger for it. And that means there's going to be a need for transformation, because as we are, we need you to transform us into who you see us to be. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're well into the new year already. This is the month of March. Oh my goodness, we're already in March in 2017. And God is challenging us to take possession of our inheritance. I preached that to you last Sunday night. It's time to take possession. And through prayer, through humility, through revelation of God's word, a transformed church, that's what's going to be produced, fully following him. Now, in praying over this, to deliver this word today, I've prayed with groaning over this because my heart has been grieved, as the Holy Spirit has been grieved about with what I'm about to share. And in grief, I have labored over this truth because we have an opportunity before us this year like we've never had before. And as I look at the context of this passage, the fire of the Lord has come down from God's presence and the people saw it. And they experienced it, and they fell on their faces, and they declared, "The Lord, he is God." About 2.5 or 3 weeks ago at Yosemite, we saw what is called the phenomenon of the fire fall. When the angle of the sun hits the falls just right, the reflection is such that the water appears to be on fire as it's coming over, cascading over the side of the mountain. It's an amazing picture. It's stunning. It's beautiful. But if the circumstances are not aligned just right, you don't get to experience the depiction of the fire fall. People then are deprived of the majesty of this great occurrence when it happens at specific times and place and season. Some churches find themselves in this state. The fire fall is not happening there. And at one time, each had a bright, burning experience with God. For every major denomination was birthed in the fire of the Holy Spirit's presence. A cascading flow, brilliant sunlight is reflected, comes raining down, okay? Then they discovered there were those who seemed intent on quenching that fire. There were those who seemed intent on putting out that fire and then substituting liturgy or things that we can do in our own strength to symbolize what we once had in reality. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes to the church, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not. It can be said about many churches, we don't have the firefall any longer. There is little Spirit-anointed praise and worship. There's little joy expressed, the joy of the Lord, not just a happy face, but the joy of the Lord. And now it's become a flickering reflection of what once was. There's been a substitution of technology and atmosphere for presence. And I don't care how talented and great performing persons you are, I want presence. I'm not interested in your performance. I want presence. Gone is God's glory. Gone is the enthusiasm, the innocence, the excitement of serving the Lord, just pure, transparent passion to serve the Lord. And Jesus put it like this as he's telling the story to his followers. And the foolish virgin said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." Another version puts it like this, "Give us of your oil, for our lights are going out." Dying flames. Flames once ignited and empowered by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Today, they no longer burn brightly for the Lord. Their countenance no longer shines. The Spirit light within them no longer shines out. We need a fresh fire fall among God's people. We need the fire of God to fall on us once again. And when the sun shines and is reflected in us, His fire is revealed in our lives. Number one, I want to talk about this fire of God. The fire of God is the symbol of deity. Serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. In other words, his presence purifies, cleanses, washes away, scrubs off of us all the junk that's accumulated. Isaiah called it the spirit of burning. John the Baptist, speaking of Jesus, said, "Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Secondly, fire is the symbol of acceptance and approval by God. When his people presented an offering to him, the way they knew the Lord approved and accepted their sacrifice, the fire would fall from heaven and consume the offering. It was a symbol of the acceptance of God. It says in Leviticus, "And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." Because there was the approval and acceptance of God for their sacrifice. In Genesis 15, as God and Abraham are making covenant together about the future expansion of Israel and to create a great people, Abraham is caused to lay out 5 animals for sacrifice. And this covenant that he's making with God is going to be sealed with blood. "Behold, a smoking oven and a flaming torch passed between those pieces." The pieces of the sacrifice now have been wrapped by, inundated by, the very fire and presence of God. And God was saying, "I approve this sacrifice." The father of Samson offered God sacrifice with meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. And it says next, "It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar. The angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar." Fire consumes the sacrifice on the rock, and the angel of the Lord is present, surrounded by that fire. It was a symbol of God's approval. And when our lives become wholly submitted to God, and thereby he approves of our submission to him, not only does he receive us, not only is there this inward work of being born again in salvation, but then the sanctification begins and works its way from the inside to the outside. God sees our lives as living sacrifices. And when we are there, God sends his fire to consume our sacrificial life. Thirdly, the fire is a symbol of God's presence. Wherever God appeared, there was a demonstration of fire. For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. He's speaking of his people. Amen? When the children of Israel walked out of bondage from Egypt, listen, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them, and then watch, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. Now, the Egyptians didn't experience that fire firsthand, but there was this fire that covered the nation of Israel as they walked out of Egypt into the wilderness. And Israel followed that fire. That fire led them. His fire led them, and his fire gave an illuminating effect. His fire gave them guidance. His fire energized God's people, because fire is a sign of God's presence. The only fire some churches have left is the fire in their kitchen. That's about all they got. There's not a whole lot of fire left. I just received this article, and this gentleman was writing about the state of the church and comparing it in the Western culture to what's happening in the rest of the world, where the fire is falling everywhere. And our fellowship is growing by such fast numbers. There's nothing to compare this with. We've never seen anything like it since the birth of the church. We can't even keep them up with the numbers. There's such phenomenal growth. But he says in his article, we need a new reformation to awaken the West from its slumber. And I said, yes, sir. Yes, we do. Because we need that fire fall on our churches in the Western culture today. Amen? And then he goes on to say, when we blend worldly philosophies and ideologies with the gospel, we are practicing friendship with the world and making ourselves the enemies of God. But what great insight that is. That's exactly what James says. And then he says, the emerging church has replaced sound biblical doctrine with post-evangelical narratives. In denying the reality of hell, the emerging church, false teachers, are only helping to increase the population of hell. Yeah, because they're telling people, don't worry about that. There's no such place as that. Little fire in the pulpit in the Western church. Little fire in the pew. Little fire in the singing. Little fire in the worship team. No fire in their prayers, because the majority of them don't show up for prayer. No prayer meetings to speak of, no fire in their praise. And we're just looking at, how can I punch this clock, check this box, and get this in and out and be done in the Western culture? Whereas in other cultures, they come by the thousands and tens of thousands and are willing to stay as long as the preacher has anything left to say, because they are full of the fire of God and eager for more. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon said, put some fire in the sermon, or put the sermon in the fire. We need the fire of God in the Western church. Lord, let the fire fall at Calvary Christian Center, and let that fire ignite his church. Because programs have replaced passion and power. When worship is created by atmosphere rather than presence, it's time for God's fire to fall. When we are drowning in immorality in the body of Christ, and when the heart is no longer convicted of it, it's time for the fire to fall. When you're slapped in the face at every age level with exposure to nudity of every kind, and we have no sense of indignation anymore, it's time for God's fire to fall. So Paul told young Timothy, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. In the Greek, it means rekindle the gift in you. Fan the flame that once burned in you. Fire comes from the Lord, but we have to keep it burning. God will send the fire. You must place the wood on the fire. Because Proverbs says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. So if you don't put fresh wood on the fire, It's just a matter of time. All you're going to have left are ashes. Some have ashes where there used to be fire because they're putting no new wood on the fire. Bible reading, studying God's word is the wood on the fire. Prayer is the wood on the fire. Praise and worship, wood on the fire. Living a holy life, loving others, puts wood on the fire. Resisting temptation is wood on the fire. Ask the Lord, let your fire fall on my spirit. And tell your neighbor, keep the fire burning. And that's what you do when you show up on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. Because you could be home watching something stupid on television. And unfortunately, many in the Western culture choose to do that. But when God sees your sacrifice, don't be surprised if you get a hot seat where you are. Amen? The fire is ready to fall on God's people again. And he wants to do that in the Western culture like he is literally all over the planet. Keep the fire box stocked with seasoned wood. Clean out all the ashes. Do not quench the spirit. In other words, don't put fake logs in the fireplace. Whenever Don and I have looked at homes and, you know, you check out the new models and you see what the new things are, you wander around in there and I see one of these fireplaces with fake logs in it, nah, not going to happen. Don't like it. I grew up with the real deal and I still like it. Amen? We need the real deal in this culture war we are engaged in America right now. We do not need to be fake Christians, acting like we have real heat and fire, but not having it in reality. God help us never to extinguish the fire we have in our lives and in our church. May God touch us with his fire. It needs to be fresh, and it will bless his name, and it will propel the church into a place where she's always been destined. It will heal our families. It will break addictions. It'll crush habits. It'll liberate the oppressed from the devil. There's something about the fire of God that always makes the snake run. Amen. Jeremiah had experienced the holy fire of God. And he wrote like this, his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. Jeremiah ran a temperature. Behold, I will make my words, God said, in your mouth, fire. He was on fire. Number four, we need the same fire our predecessors had in Acts 2. The disciples on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection experienced holy heartburn. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked? Jesus talked with us on the road and while Jesus opened the scriptures to us? Now, there have been some hotheads in the church. But what we need are some hot hearts. David had a band of valiant, wholehearted men he assembled before he was crowned king in Israel. Valiant men went with him whose hearts God had touched. God knows we need these kind of men in the church at Calvary Christian Center. Men that will say to the Lord transparently, have I become too callous? Have I become too familiar with the presence of the Holy Spirit? Has it become too commonplace for God to touch my heart any longer? Do I feel like I'm content where I am and I don't need any more from the Lord? Can God move me any longer? Well, God, can he transform and change me any longer? Isaiah received a touch of God's fire after years of serving. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it. Isaiah was changed. Listen, then he said, here am I. Send me. John the Baptist had God's fire. People came who were the elite of his day, and people literally crawled out of caves to come and hear this man preach because he was filled with the fire of God. Number five, fire is necessary for growth. Because out where the redwoods grow, several decades ago, there was great concern about the thinning of the redwoods. So rangers scrambled to put fires out immediately whenever there were lightning strikes. And they would react quickly with newer technology to find the strike and do everything they could to get there and put the fire out. But what they didn't know, the fire was burning the hardened cones off of the seeds so new trees could sprout. The seeds were not germinating, so no new trees were springing up. So the rangers moving so quickly to put out the fires, trying to protect the redwoods, but they learned since that the hot fire would melt the outer shells of the cone away from the seeds. Then the seed could go into the ground and germinate and begin to grow a whole new generations of redwoods. But by putting the fires out and not letting it burn hot, notice, the next generation of trees would not spring up. The cones remained hard-hearted and could not germinate. They attempted to control the fire and manipulate the fire. Listen, like some have grown cold and calloused and crusted and hardened around their soul. But if we will allow the fire to fall again, it will burn away the shell of our coldness. It will burn away the shell of our worldliness. The fire will burn away the shell of indifference from off of our hearts. And Calvary, if we will catch fire, our children will catch fire, and our children's children will catch fire, and there'll be a whole new generation springing up on fire, populating once again. Amen. When I grew up in church, people attended Sunday night just to see what was going to happen, because nothing matched it. You never knew when the Spirit was going to move among the people. It was exciting. When people come to some of our churches today, boring. We would sing a song until it exploded. So red hot were some of those services, you thought you'd be raptured for it. It was over. Right. Today, you find people just scrolling around on their smartphones, texting one another, doing all this kind of stuff during worship, totally distracted from what God's trying to do and focusing us on Jesus, the Son of God. What happens when the fire falls? Number six, when the fire falls, people acknowledge God. The people fell on their faces. I've seen people do that. They just literally fall on their face because the fire of God is falling at such a rapid pace. They fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." The fear of the Lord returned to them. There was now an honest reverence for Him. They acknowledged God and recognized, I'm accountable to Him. When Peter preached the first message on the day of Pentecost in the early church, he was under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He had just stepped out from the upper room because each person in the streets had heard the 120 up in the upper room speaking in his or her language. And the gospel was being preached in tongues they had never heard before. So it says when they heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? This is digging deep inside of us. And those who gladly received his word, Peter preaching, were baptized. And that day there were about 3,000 souls added to them. When Stephen got up to share what Jesus had done in his life before the spiritual leaders of his day, it says they were cut to the heart. Conviction happens when God's fire is present in a ministry and in church. Conviction. What convicted you? How many of you recall when you sensed conviction? Do you ever get convicted of sin? Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And He'll make it very real. In many churches in our culture, there is this attempt to make the world comfortable. And if we're not careful, we'll forget we cannot change anyone by being their buddy. Salvation is a supernatural act of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you must be born again. That doesn't happen if you're just having intellectual conversation. It requires the Holy Spirit taking a corrupted heart and washing him or her in the blood and cleansing him or her and transforming him or her and giving him or her a brand new life, totally transformed by the power of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit having done his work. The people fell on their faces. In Acts 2, the people were cut to the heart. That's called conviction. Today, there is little or no fear of God. People gossip about each other in the church. They hardly make it into the parking lot before there's backbiting. I'm not talking about Calvary. I'm talking about the other churches in town. This isn't for you. This is for your neighbor, okay? So just ignore that. When then people take the tithe and they go buy their new TV with it. No fear of God. Listen, we're all reliant on the mercy of God. But when we allow sin in the camp and there's little fear of God and we don't in any way reverence what God has told us and what we know we should be doing, here's how it looked in the early church when people started doing that. In Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira lied about their offering to the Holy Spirit. And the word says the same Holy Spirit that they lied to in front of Peter and in front of the rest of the church slew them. I guarantee you there was revival in the next church service. In fact, it says, and great fear came upon all the people. I mean, they were all in now. You talk about weeping. They didn't need a slow emotional song to get tears to flow. They hit the altars. They prayed. They repented. The fire of God was present. And allow the fire of God to manifest in the church. And the one unfaithful to their spouse will say, I need to repent or I need to get out of here. Because when there's conviction, because the fire of God is present, you are going to get very uncomfortable. And there are a lot of people in the Western culture who go, I'm not going to church in that place because he challenges me. No, I don't. The Holy Spirit challenges you. And you don't like it when he does because conviction means there's sin that needs to be corrected. Now, I love everyone here, and I love people no matter what their lifestyle. I love the one who's had an abortion, the one addicted to drugs, and you've struggled, and you've been burdened. You've had same-sex attraction, and you're welcomed, and we love you. But you cannot remain in that lifestyle unrepentant. You must be born again. You allow the fire of the Holy Spirit to manifest, and it's transformational. He begins to do a work of transformation. And Jesus loves you so much, he will not leave you like you are. No matter what the sin is that captivated you, the standard remains the same. Repent and be converted. The same gospel. We confess our sins. We forsake our sins because the fire of the Holy Spirit has touched us. Isaiah said, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. That's when true renewal has arrived. And when renewal has arrived, people forget their egos, their title, their pride, and they fall on their faces and cry, woe is me. I need you to touch my heart, my mind, and my lips. And I've got to have your help. The fire fell from heaven, and the people saw it. It says, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. What did the people do? They shouted. They fell on their faces. They knelt. At the Wailing Wall, when you get there in person, you see this in Jerusalem. People who have not yet met Jesus as their Savior Messiah, they will sit and read the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, by the hour. They are praying and they are seeking. And we under a new covenant who know Messiah and know Jesus Some hardly ever break open God's word and study it and know it. We are at the highest illiteracy rate of knowledge of the Bible in the history of the United States of America today. But these people sit for hours and pray. And then some get up and make it to the wall, and they start hitting the wall, animated, and they cry out, not caring what others think, for God to once again show up in their lives and in their nation. Why are we ashamed of the fire? Why are we ashamed of the Holy Spirit? Why are we ashamed of the power of God? There was such fire at that wall. I never expected it from the prayers that have gone up to God. I thought I wasn't going to be able to stand there. It shook me at the knee. I am not ashamed of the fire of God's presence. It will carry you through anything. He is my comforter. I don't know what I would do without the Holy Spirit. I've asked God to make me more conscious of Him every single day, because it becomes so easy to neglect His presence and not be aware of the importance of His presence in our lives. One weary pastor, having dealt with a church like that for a number of years, he said, quote, "Tell my deacons when I am dead that at my grave no tears be shed. For though I am buried, they need have no fear. I am more dead than they have been for years. I am no more dead than they have been for years." And I thought, wow. Wow. If all the sleeping folk would wake up, if all the lukewarm folk would fire up, if all the dishonest folk would confess up, if all the mean folk would sweeten up, if all the discouraged folk would cheer up, if all the angry folk would make up, if all the gossiping folk would shut up, and if all the dry bones would stand up, we would have a great awakening and the fire of God would fall once again. So don't worry, saints. It's easier to cool down a fanatic than it is to heat up a corpse. The Assemblies of God was born in fire. We're a product of what happened in Southern California on Azusa Street. And we're thankful for our roots. This church, Calvary Christian Center, was born in that same fire. And to continue forward, we must be sustained by the same fire of God. Because in the culture we're living in today, ashes will not cut it. We are people of the fire. That's what we were birthed in. That's who we are. That's what we need to sustain us. Stir up the gift, fan the fire, awaken your hearts, put some fresh wood on that fire, and fall on your faces and cry to God and ask God for the fire to fall on your life. Ask Him for the fire to fall upon your family. Ask Him for the fire to rekindle and re-energize your life. There's nothing like it. Fell to me as the firstborn son in my family to make sure that the furnaces were heated and stoked for the night in the winters. And it fell to me to build a fire in the fireplace. And there's nothing like it. And all of a sudden, it catches. It may take a little while to generate it, a little effort, a little movement with some of the fireplace tools and placement of the wood to get enough air moving, circulating. But once it catches, flames grow and shoot up. I mean, there's nothing like it. It's amazing. Amen? And that's what we need once again happening in the church. Amen. We need fresh wood. We need fresh air. We need the breath of the Holy Spirit to kindle in us and take those sparks and ignite them into a full-blown fire And believe me, it warms the whole house. How many here would like to see the fire fall again at Calvary Christian Center? I'm a candidate for fresh fire to fall on us again. But we need to give the Holy Spirit some wood to ignite. And nothing's going to happen until once again we start reading and knowing His Word and putting fresh wood on that fire and bathing that with prayer and getting that all in place. And when we begin to lift our hands and humble ourselves and repent and confess our shortcomings and sins, the fire of God will catch. And everybody in the house will know there's fire in there tonight. Amen. It's warming all of us. If you want the fire of God to fall fresh, stand to your feet with me and lift your hands and say, Holy Spirit, we need your help. When you've got something you can't conquer, ask Him for the fire. His power is all you need to defeat any adversary. We praise you, thank you, worship you.